Hope you stayed up late. If not, you missed a thrilling Pacers win in LA. Pacers trailing the whole game. They can't find their mojo. They're down 17 in the fourth. And then Andrew Nembhard, the hero from the heavens, buries a three from the parking lot over LeBron James at the buzzer. Pacers win. We'll break down the whole game and where the Pacers have missed Andrew Nembhard in his absence. That's now over all on today's Locked On Pacers podcast.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and SI, and oh boy, do we have a fun one to get to today. And I did not think it was going to be going this direction. Pacers win in LA. 116-115. Please ignore the final score. That does nothing to tell you the story of what just happened a couple minutes ago in Crypto.com Arena, where the Pacers stunk it up for three and a two-minute stretch of the fourth quarters of this game. They were trailing the whole time. They never found that Pacers mojo that's guided them on so many comebacks. And then for the final 9.5 minutes, they just turned it around. They do what the Pacers do. They erase a 17-point deficit, capped off by the shot of the season for the Pacers, Andrew Nembhard, at the buzzer over LeBron James in his first game back from injury. So much to get to today. And a lot of it was going to be focused on Andrew Nembhard anyway. So I wanted to talk about what the Pacers were missing with him in his absence. So lo and behold, he comes up huge with the biggest shot of his career. And we just got to dive right into this game. And this is hilarious because I write my notes like most people during the game, stuff I want to bring up when talking about it, stuff I want to write about, you know, all sorts of stuff. And the Pacers looked miserable. They were down 17, like I said, in the fourth quarter of this game. It was 101-84 with 9:30 to go. So some of my notes that I wanted to address in my segment, I have titled Pacers Lakers in all caps, says, Pacers are not figuring things out fast enough in time. Lost in the first quarter, lost in the second quarter, lost in the third quarter. Not enough in the early portions of this game, even with the great close. Getting smoked on the glass. You know, those are the high-level stuff I wanted to start with because they did do all that stuff. And then my next one says, holy swear word, scrap all that. We got a lot of different story to talk about because this was a magnificent fourth quarter comeback from the Pacers. Let's talk about 32-22 fourth quarter from this Pacers team. They couldn't make a three all night, and then they made six in the final frame. They barely turned it over. They held the Lakers to 8-for-22 shooting. It was a brilliant, brilliant frame starting at that 9:30 mark, right? Wenyen Gabriel dunked it at the 9:59 mark. Pacers didn't score. They bring in Jalen Smith for James Johnson, who was in there for some energy. And then all of a sudden, they just start to figure it out, right? Aaron Nesmith hits a big three. And Mathurin scores at the rim twice in a row. Then Nesmith scores another three. And right then, it's all of a sudden a seven-point game. And I start to remember something that I've heard a lot from Tyrese Haliburton this season. You know, this team has made all these comebacks, right? They adjust at halftime, and they come out in the second half, and they've got a slightly altered plan of attack, and they slowly chip at it and win. This was not like that, where they slowly chip at it and have all these amazing moments. They just all flooded it at once. So it didn't feel the same. But Tyrese Haliburton has said all season, you know, and I've kind of asked some questions to guys, including him, about, you know, hey, with this team, what is the thing that you guys do so well to make these comebacks? They keep doing it, right? There has to be something they're doing. Is it a halftime adjustments thing? Is it something innate about this group of people? Is it their connectivity? That's their superpower, as Rick Carlisle says. And something Tyrese Haliburton keeps bringing up is like the way the NBA is now and the way the Pacers play, which is so fast-paced with all these shots, with all these threes, right? They took almost 50 in this game. A 50-point lead is not that crazy. Like, if you play perfectly like the Pacers did for that stretch I just described, where you get two Nesmith threes and two Mathurin layups, you know, you go from down 17 to down 7 in less than 2 minutes, right? Like, that is the stuff the Pacers can do with the team they've constructed where, you know, this is what they wanted in the offseason. They wanted athleticism. They wanted shooting. And those plays happened right there. So they're down 7 all of a sudden, and that's the stuff Haliburton likes to say. It's crazy that they continue to do this, and yet – all the struggles they've had all game. They've had to double Anthony Davis. He still was punking them. They were losing on the glass. LeBron was in the game. Russ was playing pretty well for the Lakers, right? All their stars were doing the things that made me think, even with this, the Lakers were going to win. And the Pacers had gone on runs in this game many times, right? They were down 10 in the third quarter. They pushed it back down to three. Then it went up to double digits. They got it back down to single digits, right? It was kind of that kind of form. So when they got it down to 7, I thought, oh, the Lakers will respond. And they did for a second. They got it up to 11, but the Pacers kept chipping at it. And all of a sudden, you look up and, you know, with about 3 minutes to go, 3:30 to go, really, the Pacers were down 8. And that's enough to come back. But still, with the way the Lakers were playing and Davis was playing, it didn't feel like it could be there. You know, 9-point game at the 3-minute mark. And then it happens again, right, where the Pacers have this just rush of crazy buckets, right? 110-101, Lakers lead with 3 minutes to go. Miles Turner hits a three. Buddy Hield hits 2 free throws. Andrew Nembhard hits a three. And Buddy Hield hits a finger roll layup. And all of a sudden, they're down 1. And that took, you know, 90 seconds for them to do this, because the way this team plays, they attack you like crazy. They drive like hell. And they have the shooters who finally made some threes in the fourth quarter. You know, another part of this game story to me was going to be, you'll never beat the Lakers if they outshoot you percentage-wise from deep, right? They are not a good shooting team. And actually, the Pacers did get outshot percentage-wise from deep, but they figured enough out to get it done. But either way, they were still losing after all that, but they found a second run. So now they're on 112-111. And I still have so much exciting game to talk about. There's 124 to go. The Lakers still have the ball. They're ahead. You never know what's going to happen, right? A bunch of misses happen, and then the craziest possession of the game happens before the buzzer, right? The Pacers get a stop. They're down 1. Haliburton pushes up in transition, and Andrew Nembhard makes a great play on a cut and fakes and gets to the rim. It's 112-111, reminder. And he barely misses this 2-foot reverse layup, right? It was right at the rim. I don't know how it didn't go in. But don't worry. Buddy Hield's right there. He's going to tip it up and right back. Oh, it just falls off the rim. It doesn't make sense, but it falls off. But then it falls to Benedict Mathurin, and it still doesn't go in. They had 3 absolute bunnies at the rim when those didn't go in. I thought it was over the ball. When it was caroming out of bounds off that Mathurin miss, it still looked over. There was a foul called. Anthony Davis heads to the free throw line. I thought that was it. The Pacers had their chance. They blew it. That's so deflating to have 3 layups to take the lead with under a minute to go after coming back from 17 down, and they didn't get it. They did not get the buckets they needed at the rim. AD only made 1 of 2. So that sort of changed the game. There's 43.6 seconds to go. I can't believe I'm still talking about this fourth quarter for 7 straight minutes of this podcast, but that's what this game merited. That's what the Pacers' comeback was. Haliburton, who was brilliant in this game, he will get a lot of praise in the second segment here today. The Lakers just decided that they were going to trap him, but then sometimes trap him, but not do a good job of recovering if he got through the trap, and he kept getting layups. He drove right to the rim. It only took him 4 seconds on the inbounds play, and it was tied at 113. So the Pacers complete the comeback at that point. But they still got to get a stop, and they go back on defense. They switch a pick and roll involving LeBron. It ends up with LeBron being guarded by Buddy Hield. Buddy did an okay job, forced a kind of tough, you know, little 10-foot baseline fadeaway. The NBA says it was actually a 4-foot shot. It was not a 4-foot shot. LeBron made it. He's very good. And the Lakers lead with 21 seconds to go. So then it also felt over to me. Again, right? Look, the Pacers have done this thing so many times this year where they've come back, but they've never had the buzzer beater, the moment. They haven't had a buzzer beater since Solomon Hill, like in 2014. They have just not had one. So they've got to get a bucket. They've got to win it. They foul with 8.7 seconds left. So Pacers have that much time left to get their game winner. They throw it in. Miles Turner, straight away 3 with less than 6 seconds to go. And it rims out. It was a good shot. I thought he could hit it, right? And Turner needed a moment like that, but no biggie. Mathurin's there in the lane to catch it and put it right back up, but it goes through his hands. But he actually tips it perfectly out to Tyrese Haliburton. And another moment of brilliance from the point guard. Haliburton surveys the floor. He catches it with like 2.5 seconds to go, looks up at the rim, kind of hesitates a shot fake, dribbles twice to his right, throws it across the court. And LeBron James was guarding Andrew Nembhard, kind of drifted under the basket to stop any drives from the Pacers. So he's a step away from his man. He loses his man. Nembhard relocates. Perfect pass from Haliburton. I had to have a ton of juice to get there fast enough for the shot to go up. And then Nembhard from 25 feet at the buzzer, a high arcing three over LeBron James. Cash. Swish. Game over. Pacers win 116-115. A magical fourth quarter. The play-by-play does not do it justice. I could not believe, given the game flow, given how the Pacers played the entire game, that they would have a moment like that. But they did. And this was just the perfect summation of this Pacers season where, as Haliburton said so many times, 15 is nothing to this team. And that sounds crazy. Like 15 points is a lot of points, but they keep proving that he's right. Right? They know how to adjust. They know what they can do to generate buckets. And they've got the shooters and athleticism to play the style they want to play, to play the style Rick Carlisle wants to play, and to play a style that really suits their best player in Tyrese Haliburton, who just had 24 points, 14 assists, and no turnovers. That's completely ridiculous. The Pacers' comeback was completely ridiculous. And there's still so much more to talk about from this game. You're about to hear the first noteless segment for me of the season, because I'm just going to riff about all the crazy things the Pacers just did in this game. Tyrese Haliburton has over 40 consecutive assists without a turnover. Andrew Nembhard just had the game of his life and the moment of his life. Aaron Nesmith was awesome. There's so much still to talk about from Pacers-Lakers, though. But really quick, before we talk about that, let me talk to you guys about Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want wherever you want it from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Whatever you need, Turo can help you. They'll let you test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on, see how it fits your everyday life, right? There's something for everybody, and many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars. It's time to find your drive at Turo.com. Welcome back into Locked On Pacers. Thanks for making us your first listen today and every single day. Obviously, make your second listen Locked On Lakers to hear what the Kamenetsky twins have to say about that ending, that game, the Lakers, who were up 17 and could have won 6 out of 7 and kept the season mojo alive. And now, who knows what's going to happen to the Lakers, who have a brutal December schedule. The Kamenetsky twins know what will happen to the Lakers. But I'm here to talk about the Pacers. And this is, I take a lot of notes to prep for podcasts. I want to talk about all these 10 things and cover it in the context of this player and this thing. I'm not doing that for this. My title for segment two today is just riff, baby. I do have a few things typed down, but none of it is specific enough for me, because the stuff I typed down is another group of notes from this game that was going to be read had the Pacers lost, right? And it was, first, someone commented this on YouTube on one of the episodes a couple days ago. I apologize, I forget who, but you know, the trope that live and die by the three, right? The Pacers have kind of fallen into that. They shot awful from three against the Clippers and couldn't win. They shot great from three against the Nets and they won. This game, they were shooting awful from three. In fact, they still, when it was all said and done, shot a lower percentage than the Lakers. I said that already. The same thing that hurt them against the Clippers as well. Rebounding was not great for the Pacers in this game. They lose that battle 49-57, right? A lot of the stuff that just happened in LA last night looked like it was going to happen again. The Lakers went up 10 early in the third. I typed that down. I typed down moments where I feel like the game's going to end, right? It feels like the game's getting out of hand. So all that was typed down, and none of it mattered. So here's why I want to riff. Because every player who played for the Pacers, or at least most of them, merit a long string of discussion. And Andrew Nembhard hit the game winner in his first game back from injury, so he should be first, but he's not. Because Tyrese Haliburton just did something that's never been done in NBA history before. Three straight games of 10-plus assists with no turnovers in all three games. What he is doing at point guard for the Pacers right now is unbelievable. It's quite frankly unbelievable. This game, 14 assists, including the assist to Nembhard to close the game. Three of his assists were in the fourth quarter and 5 of his points, right? He just did it all. His really impressive quarter was the second quarter when the Pacers needed juice badly. He had 12 points in that quarter, but he finds ways to pass when he needs to pass and score when he needs to score in a way that is really impressive to me. And he has found that balance of aggression and passing. And I know that was that storyline is gone. That was a problem for him last year. He's figured it out. But in this game specifically, you know, in the first quarter, he had 4 assists, right? He needed to pass and carve up the Laker defense early, get his teammates involved. And then he needed to score himself because no one else was doing it for the Pacers, and then he needed to score himself in the third quarter, and then he needed to set up his teammates in the fourth quarter. Whatever the game called for, Tyrese Haliburton showed it. I mean, you have to call it now. I mean, you could have called it 3 weeks ago. He's an all-star this season. I think it's very obvious. I think he's in the all-NBA hunt this season. And three straight games with 10 or more assists and no turnovers is ridiculous. And the official stat number right now, I think he had a turnover late against Minnesota and then one assist after that. So he has 41 straight assists without a turnover. I mean, it's ridiculous what he is doing running the show over the Pacers right now. And this game was another example of that. They win his minutes by 5 in a 1-point win. You need every win you can get. He was awesome. Even McConnell, his backup, missed a bunch of shots, but McConnell made some huge hustle plays, had 4 assists. Getting that kind of play from your point guards and guys who play a similar style, which I think is important for this Pacers team, was huge. But Haliburton, the way he's been playing, is just out of this world ridiculous. Like, I can't believe it. Nembhard, Andrew Nembhard, let's talk about his entire game. I just typed his name. That's all that's in the notes. The three was obviously incredible. The moment of his career, it probably could be for years. Like that a 3 over LeBron in LA to prevent a 2-game losing streak, to prevent losing 3 out of 4 for a team that is on this incredibly long road trip right now and is on a back-to-back. Like, that is a momentum for your season kind of shot. That's a obviously for the win kind of shot. That's a statement game for your rookie. And, oh, by the way, Andrew Nembhard missed the last four or five Pacers games with a knee bruise and hasn't played for a while and had to step up in a huge way in this game, right? The Pacers really relied on him. He played 28 minutes and 45 seconds. That's more than Aaron Nesmith, who started. That's more than Jalen Smith, who started. That's more than any bench player not named Benedict Mathurin. Even coming back from injury, Rick Carlisle said, I need this kid for the whole game. Not just that three. He had three other threes. He also had 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks, and was an even in those minutes. And here's the thing that Andrew Nembhard did in this game that was maybe more impressive than the buzzer beater. That's not true. Nothing's more impressive than that shot. That's going to be his career moment for a long time. He defended LeBron a lot in this game and did a pretty good job. That's why I think Carlisle turned to him so much, right? Nesmith was occasionally doing it. And in fact, most of the time he was doing it with the starters. Nesmith had a fine game. We'll talk about him in a second. But his defense was not at the same level that Nembhard's was in this game. Nembhard defended LeBron pretty well. And that was going to be something I talked about a lot in the third segment. We're going to talk all about Andrew Nembhard to close today's show. He was defending LeBron very well. His defense, right? Tyrese Haliburton said, I think it was Haliburton, he might be our best perimeter defender. And I think Duarte and him are neck and neck, but he certainly looked like the team's best perimeter defender in this game, doing a great job on LeBron, being that connective piece on offense, guarding other guys pretty well as well. I wish that the NBA got their defensive stats up quicker after games, but obviously that tracking stuff takes forever. Either way, he's had a lot of great games in his career. You know, he was probably better against the Heat and San Antonio, for example. But in terms of moments, defending one of the best players of all time, hitting a 3 over him at the buzzer, and being huge off the bench in a key Pacers win, this is the moment of his career so far. It was so impressive to see Andrew Nembhard do that kind of stuff. And while we're on the topic of rookies, how about Benedict Mathurin, who came into this game with sort of being a storyline that he called out LeBron before the season and said, I want to play him to see if I'm better than him. That's paraphrasing. I don't think anybody's better than me until I play them. Look, LeBron's better right now than Benedict Mathurin. And LeBron was, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in this game. He had 10 points on jumpers, like right when it started. I think if he doesn't roll his ankle in the first quarter, the Lakers probably win. But Mathurin was awesome. Mathurin was not shy in the moment. 23 points, 8 rebounds. Those were huge. He had 3 threes, and he was a huge juice for the Pacers in the second half of this game, where he had 13 of his points and made 6 shots. That was a team high. The Pacers needed Mathurin to step up. Big moment for him, right? It's not that he's ever shy of confidence. I don't think his comments were even on his mind entering this game. But to play like that in your first game against LeBron James, like same for Nembhard, is so impressive, and Mathurin continues to do this. That's his 4th 20-plus point game in his last 5 games. So the dud in L.A. against the Clippers, if he washes that away, I mean, he's just been playing so well recently. He did it again in this game, and he didn't need the free throws like he has a lot of the other times. In fact, Benedict Mathurin had 23 points without even attempting a single free throw in this game. Very unlike his style to not get to the line at all. Doesn't matter. He still found a way to score. He still hit his threes. So impressive against the Lakers team, and so impressive against a guy that he said, I think I'm better than anybody, right? So he was awesome. Third highest point total in this game behind Russ and AD. What names to be a part of. And Haliburton, excuse me. So incredible game from Mathurin, and they needed him in the second half, and he was there. Miles Turner gets a shout here on the glass. He had a double-double by the third quarter in this game. But it was, rebounding, he finished with 13, I believe. Yes, 13, 3 offensive boards. He also had 4 assists and 3 blocks. 15, 13, 4, and 3 for Miles Turner, plus 3. And he also hit 6 of 10 inside the arc against a team that he's been in trade rumors with. A nice performance from Miles Turner. He guarded Anthony Davis for much of this game. Anthony Davis did very well in this game. He had 25, 13, and 6, but Miles Turner prevented that from being 30, 15, and 8. So credit to Miles. He played very well and got some key rebounds for the Pacers, who needed it after getting punked on the glass one night earlier, although he did get that margin closer with his rebounding in this game. Last guy to shout out, Aaron Nesmith. I mentioned I would in the first segment, and the Pacers got it again, right? I mentioned this on a podcast last week. This team and a lot of their wins, their best players all do about what they expect to or better, right? Buddy Hield had 15. Turner had a double-double. Haliburton was amazing. Mathurin did the scoring. They just needed one role player to exceed their expectations or all of them to meet them, and they will win. And Andrew Nembhard, you could say, is that role player in this game. In fact, it would be very easy to argue that. Aaron Nesmith deserves a ton of praise, a ton of praise for the way he played in this game. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 three-pointers, led the team in outside shooting in this game and was more settled. He took him off. He took him on catch-and-shoot situations. He wasn't forcing the drives as much as he was against L.A. He was really good. They needed him to be really good. And it was a big part of their win. So a lot of guys stepped up for the Pacers. I've never riffed like that before. I hope that was at least somewhat entertaining because so many guys were good. So many guys merited discussion. And when you win a game like that, you can't just focus on one thing, one play, one player. Although the Andrew Nembhard shot probably merits that kind of thing. But speaking of Andrew Nembhard, I am going to focus by talking about one player, not its performance in this game, though. I was going to do this segment anyway, right? I was going to do the what have the Pacers missed without Andrew Nembhard segment because he's been a key player for this Pacers team this season. He showed very much why in this game against the Lakers. But now I really want to do this segment because I got the numbers and he just showed exactly what he can be playing. Let's close this show by talking about Andrew Nembhard and his impressive season. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every potential new hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. You can just get on there, click a few things, post your job. You add the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile that spreads the word that your company's hiring. And they have simple tools like their screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the quality candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. Check out Locked On Sports today for your second listen for the games that matter most to the biggest stories in sports. Go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today. Let's talk about Andrew Nembhard. And this is perfect timing. Perfect timing segment. I was going to talk about him anyway. You can go back to yesterday's podcast for the proof where I said after the Clippers game, I'm going to talk about Andrew Nembhard tomorrow and where the Pacers have been missing him. He returned tonight. And this was going to be a segment about what was missed with Andrew Nembhard, right? In this game, he returned. I thought maybe he'd start. Carlisle turned to Nesmith. It would not surprise me if Nembhard starts on Wednesday again when the Pacers take on the Kings. I think the rotation's better there with Nesmith with the second unit. We'll see how Carlisle feels about that. It doesn't matter if Nembhard ends up playing more and still being good. Either way, sometimes when players are absent for a while, you can actually figure out where they're missed more than when they're playing, if that makes any sense. You can see where the team struggles in a way they didn't before, where the rotation imbalance ends up being. And so you can kind of see some of that stuff with Nembhard starting to form in the last couple games that he missed. And then he played that game, 12 points, 4 threes, guards LeBron, right? Unbelievably good performance. One of his best games of the season, far and away his most memorable. I've already talked about it a million times on this show. You get the idea. But this time it was different. It doesn't require me explaining to you what was missed with him out to see his value, right? He's a really, really good perimeter defender. He can defend wings despite being a point guard. And he's got that chameleon-like ability to fit in any lineup. So they can stick him out there no matter who the other two guards are, who's in the front court, and use him in a productive way. And he showed that in this game. He showed what he can be so good at. And he was a huge part of the Pacers' win. He was in their closing lineup. Andrew Nembhard, a rookie, the 31st overall pick, was in the Pacers' closing lineup against Russ, AD, and LeBron James. That already speaks volumes. But what were they missing without him? I think this just does just as good of a job telling the story of what makes Andrew Nembhard so good. Right? His on-offs are still impressive, right? Team, positive net rating with him on the floor. Their offense is better with him out there and with him off. Right, the passing's there, the connectivity's there. The defensive rating's a little worse with him out there, but also opponents are shooting over 40% from three with him out there. So you could argue that's a little fluky. Maybe that number comes down. That's also before the Lakers game, so that number could have dropped a little bit. Either way, he's been a plus on the offensive side. That's very obvious where they lost him there. They had a few stinker offensive games, Minnesota and L.A., when he was out, right? Like, that is a big thing. The defense was about the same. And with him off, opponents are better from two-point range, right? So clearly his perimeter defense makes it harder for guys to get to the rim and make it happen, and his offense is, of course, better. Prior to tonight, right, the 40% from deep it is huge. He was shooting over 40% from deep coming into this game. Then he went 4-for-7. So now that number is even higher. That obviously is something the Pacers miss, right? They've had some rough shooting games. And for a team that, you know, like I said at the beginning, sometimes can live and die by the three, having that level of shooter is always helpful. His form's a little weird. Doesn't matter. It goes in. That sounds a lot like Tyrese Haliburton, right? That's something they've been missing. That's very obvious. I don't need to, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to read 40% from three and figure it out. But that'll also work with anyone. And that's sort of a key part of his ability to be that chameleon. I hate using that word so many times. And I'm stealing it from Eddie Garrison. Great idea from Eddie Garrison of the Pacers Radio Network. But the way he can fit in with any lineups, because he can pass, he can cut, and he can shoot, and he can defend wings or guards, doesn't matter who the other guys in the backcourt are. You stick Andrew Nembhard out there, things are going to go pretty well. And so what makes him valuable is that ability to fit in any group. And that's why Carlisle could start him or bring him off the bench. Or, I don't know, that's pretty much the only two options there. But within the game, he's within so many different groups. And so I did a lot of counting for what I'm about to tell you. He's played in over 60 lineups this season, 68 in total, and 36, actually, after this Lakers game, 37 of them have a positive plus minus, so over half, right? And his best lineup is plus 26, and his worst is only minus 8. So in general, he's very good at fitting in with groups and making them better. Then averages plus minus on the season. Entering the Lakers game was just one, but still a plus on the whole season for the rookie. He's elevating so many groups, right? So many funky little lineups are valuable with him. And that's for a number of obvious reasons. First of all, turnovers go way up for this Pacers team when Nembhard goes to the bench, right? He takes care of the ball. He makes good passes and good decisions. Opponents' rim field goal percentage goes up. The shot quality for opponents is worse when he's out there, right? He stops guys from getting to the rim. He forces tougher shots, right? He's just a really good connecting player on both ends of the floor. So he should continue to obviously be in the rotation. To me, he probably should play 25 to 30 minutes every night if he continues to shoot well from three. That's the harder part. But I think this is where it's going to get tricky. Should he start or not? Because just comparing to Nesmith, I think it's pretty clear that he should, right? The starting five, Turner, Hield, Nembhard, Haliburton, and Smith, in 80 minutes prior to this Lakers game, they could have gotten some time this game. In 80 minutes, they're a plus 26, right, entering this Lakers game. The same five with Nesmith is at 88 minutes coming into the Lakers game again. And they're only plus 4, right? I think they fit better with Nembhard. I think he's better with that group. So Nesmith with the bench, but then where does Duarte go? You know, it's hard to balance all that out when he returns. But the way Nembhard plays, the way he elevates every group he's a part of, is huge. And I think the stats all bear it out, right? He stops guys from taking easier shots. He makes it harder for them to get to the rim. He connects any group he's with on the offensive end. I think the Heat game stands out to me when I talk about his connectivity. When he was standing in the middle of Miami's zone, one of the best zones in the league, and just finding guys left and right, stabilized the offense in the fourth quarter, prevented a comeback, and then stopped Tyler Hero's game winner from going in. Right, that's the sort of connectivity all on display in one quarter. Obviously, it was on display in this Lakers game as well. So I think he should continue to play. The guy who lost with him back, was O'Shea Brissett. He only played about 8 minutes in this game. He'll probably be the 10th guy in the rotation going forward, but I think you should play Andrew Nembhard over O'Shea Brissett going forward. I think that's obviously the right choice. So he'll continue to play. The biggest loss, though, for Andrew Nembhard and the Pacers while he was gone is the lost development opportunities for the rookie, but the Pacers will be, of course, happy he's back. You see the game he just had, you're, of course, happy for him, but for a Pacers team that's better when he plays, of course they're going to be happy that he returns, right? That stretch of six games he started right after Duarte got hurt, they went 5-1, right? Clearly they found something that worked with that lineup, their only loss being that three-point loss to Denver. You know, I think Andrew Nembhard's becoming not a key guy, he's still a rookie, but is becoming an important rotation piece for this Pacers team, a guy that will definitely be a nightly player for a while after a performance like this. And I've seen a couple tweets about this today. Some actually came before the game, which I thought was really interesting. I think Joe Beckham was first I saw. But, you know, the Caris LeVert trade, which was LeVert for Rubio, a Cavs lottery-protected first, and a second. That second rounder was Nembhard, right? Even if the lottery-protected first from the Cavs never conveys and they just trade LeVert for Nembhard, that's a pretty good deal for the Pacers. So that draft pick looking very good for the Pacers. He was awesome against the Lakers, and they missed him when he was absent for those four games between the first Orlando game and now. And he was big in that first Orlando game, going against his college teammate Jalen Suggs. I'll have a story about that in the next couple days at si.com/Pacers. But there's a lot coming up here for the Pacers. They just had a huge, massive game. Lots to talk about there. But play the Kings on Wednesday. Haliburton going back to his old team. Sabonis against the Pacers for the first time, Hield going against the Kings, and I'll be there. I'm flying out to Sacramento in the morning. It's 2 a.m. right now as I'm recording. My flight's in 4.5 hours, so I'm going to be completely exhausted. Bear with me while I'm out there in Sacramento, but expect some live fun stuff from Halliburton being back in Sacramento. From me, I'll try to get Matt George for a little conversation for some Kings-Pacers crossover stuff out of that game as well. So lots of fun stuff coming here on Locked On Pacers. To follow up the fun stuff of their most thrilling game of the season, you have to find a way to watch Nembhard's buzzer beater if you haven't yet. And if you have made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow.